Chapter 12. There's dragons nearby. We must be close.
Is that what that noise is?
Yes. I gritted my teeth. It's crying out in pain.
Which way is it coming from?
Ira asked as she looked all around, but in Svartalheim everything seemed to look alike.
I can't tell.
Asta shook her head and spun in a circle as the noise sounded once more.
Rat, what do we do?
Cass asked, and a hard line appeared on her concerned brow.
We do not know if that dragon is with Garnlif or not. We have to save it.
Asta frowned.
Or at the very least, we need to see what's going on. It might be like the dragon from the dungeon where we can't take it yet, but we need to find it all the same.
I'm going to try and tap into him with my power.
Oh, good idea. Oh yes, look through its eyes.
Asta added with a small clap. The power was still new to me, and I'd only done it a couple of times purposefully outside of my dreams. Still, it was impossible to tell where the noise was coming from, so this was probably our best bet to find the poor dragon. We had a map to find Garnlif if he wasn't with this dragon, but at the moment, this seemed more urgent. The dragon cried out again, and my heart sank, but I knew I had to help him. I closed my eyes and focused on the feeling of the dragon and his essence. I wasn't sure how, but I knew it was a he. And after a moment, I sensed my spirit leave my body and enter the realm of dragons. I opened my eyes to fire all around me. I was practically walking in it, and I was exhausted and terrified. The flames licked at my body, and the coals beneath me burned my feet. I could only move in a circle, and my head only stayed straight so I couldn't look around and try to see what was around me. Everything seemed to blend together in a meld of volcanoes and dark sand, and I could smell the smoke from the fire all around me, but I didn't see anything other than flames. The sound of someone yelling at me seemed off in the distance, because there was so much fire around, but I knew it was much closer than that. There was also a loud banging sound, which drowned out the voice, so it became nothing but murmurs in the background. I squinted and tried hard to look for anything that might tell me where the dragon was. And finally, I was able to see a mountain I recognized from where we arrived. It was the only mountain in the area, and its top was dark green with foliage or trees. I couldn't tell which, but I knew I could see it from where my body was at, too. I blinked back into my body and looked around until I found the mountain I'd seen as the dragon. It was to the west of us, less than half a mile away. We need to go that way, I said with a point.
Could you see where it was?
I saw the mountain to its right, so it must be on the other side. The dragon's cries must have been reverberating through the valleys around us. Cass looked at the map again.
It looks like that's where Garnlif is, so that must be him torturing the dragons.
Ira said through gritted teeth. No doubt. If he's working for the Elf King, there's no telling what kind of awful deeds he's capable of doing.
Should we have Blar teleport us there?
He's never been there. I shook my head. He's powerful, but not extremely precise at the moment, and we don't want to land right in the middle of the dwarf's home.
Good point.
Ira nodded. We'll have to walk over there. If we're quick, it shouldn't take too long.
That will allow us to get a good vantage point, too.
Well, let's get going, I said, and I started to jog toward the mountain. The girls and I were quiet as we moved along, but every so often the sound of a dragon screaming pierced our ears, and the constant noise seemed to make the trip take even longer than it should have. After an eternity that was probably more like an hour or so, the sounds of the dragon's screaming became louder and louder, and I was suddenly overcome with the feeling of their emotions. Suddenly I knew there was more than one, but I couldn't tell exactly how many there were. It felt like a million, because there were so many emotions all at once, and I nearly fell to my knees as the tidal wave of sensations overtook me.
Rat?
Cass asked when I paused and closed my eyes for a second.
Are you all right?
I'm fine, I assured them, and I took a deep breath and focused on the feeling of my own body so I wasn't so overwhelmed by the dragons. Thank you.
We must be close.
Asta frowned.
He must be feeling the dragons.
I am. I think we're almost there.
How many of them are there?
I can't tell. I shook my head. I know there's a lot, though.
That must be so hard, to feel what they do. Yes, I'm sure it's a terrible burden. It is helpful to us, but it must take a lot out of you, especially since there's so much negativity. The dragons must always feel terrified and sad.
Asta frowned.
How do you feel that all the time and still be happy?
Well, you all help. I smiled. I can feel how you feel about me because of our soul bond, and being around all of you and the dragons makes me feel better.
Shouldn't you two be able to feel what he feels too?
Ira asked as she looked at Asta and Kaas.
Will I be able to feel it too?
Kaas pursed her lips.
I never thought about it, but I can't feel what Rat feels when he's connected to the dragons. It's probably because they're not our feelings.
I would think so. I nodded. They don't feel like my feelings. It's like I know they're someone else's, but I feel them all the same.
I have to say, I'm kind of glad I can't feel them.
Kaas shook her head.
I'm not sure I would be able to handle it like you can. Yes, I wouldn't want that either.
Ira said with a small smile.
You're strong to be able to deal with that.
It's not easy, but it feels right in a way. To be connected to them, I mean.
One day, they'll just have lots of happy feelings.
Asta said with gleaming yellow eyes.
Then you'll feel happy too.
The elf girl smiled so big her cheeks pushed, her eyes closed. Her innocence was beautiful and refreshing, and I hoped she was right about there only being positivity one day. But she'd never understand just how much her positive attitude helped me to feel better. Thank you, Asta. I smiled and continued to walk toward the loud banging noise.
What is that?
Kaas asked after a moment.
It just keeps getting louder and louder.
I don't know. My eyebrows pulled together as we walked. After a few more minutes, the sound was almost too loud to bear, but then we came to a large ridge, so I gestured to the girls to be quiet as we carefully climbed up. Once we got close to the top, I realized there was a ledge ahead, so I got down on my hands and knees and crawled forward. The girls followed suit, and soon we came to the ledge so we could look down. My heart sank as I looked down into a huge valley.
Oh, no.
Finally, we figured out what the banging sound was. It was a huge forge that took up the entirety of the valley. The main part of the forge the dwarves used to heat the metal they were working with was the size of a mansion, and off to the side was a huge mechanical hammer that continuously beat down on the hot steel to shape it how they wanted. The worst part, though, was that the mechanisms the dwarves used were designed to be fueled by dragons. There were at least 10 of them, all huge adults strapped into chains. Some constantly breathed fire into the forge, while others were tethered to a large gear. The tethered ones walked in a circle together, and as they moved, the gear turned, which made the hammer cast another blow on the iron. The design of the setup was intricate, but it was diabolical, and grief rushed through me as I watched the dragons work.
They're using them for labor. I know people use dragons as slaves.
Ira shook her head.
But I never thought I'd see it like this. Yes, most of the time they're used as pets.
Asta said, and I could hear the frown in her voice.
This is just awful. The Elf King is planning to do this too. He wants to use them for his weapons. The weapons they're making must be huge. I think...
Asta paused and narrowed her eyes as she looked across the valley.
Do you think those are the weapons?
I followed her eyeline to the far end of the valley, where some large pieces of metal were slowly coming together. I couldn't tell exactly what they were yet, but there were several of them, and they all had some form of blade on them, as well as what looked like a system to launch objects a far distance away. The machines were larger than my cottage, and just the perfect size for full-grown dragons to fit into. Yes, those have to be them.
They're massive. They have to be huge for dragons to be able to fit in them.
They're probably meant to take out entire cities at once, I said with a shake of my head.
True.
Kaas whispered, and she looked at me with sad violet eyes.
What do we do here? There's dwarves everywhere. We can't launch a full-scale attack right now. It would never work. And Wrath can't control the fully grown dragons.
Even if I could, I need to give them the command, and we're still much too far away to do that.
Plus, we can be spotted too easily since we can't use our invisibility spell. Not to mention the chains on the dragons.
Asta frowned.
I counted at least 10 dwarves out here working, but there could be more.
I think we should stay here for a little bit and watch them. We'll see what they're doing, and then we can discuss our options.
All right.
The redhead nodded. We all settled down further onto the ledge so we could watch the dwarves work, and all the while the dragon's pain and torment washed over me as they pushed themselves to the limit so they could fuel this outdoor forge. The dwarves walked around supervising the production, but they didn't really do much. Everything was designed so they didn't have to lift a finger. All they did was choose the correct mold and kind of steel, and then they whipped the dragons to get them to move faster. I counted the dwarves wandering around and found 20 altogether. I wondered why they needed so many of them, but I was sure building this huge outdoor forge required a lot of magic and skill. Also, when I looked closer, I thought I could see some similarities in the dwarves, so I wondered if they might have been related. Dwarves, like Aesir, could live for a long time, and seeing the huge dragons working the machines made me wonder how long they'd been held captive by these small, terrible creatures. I thought being so small would make the dwarves understand what it was like to feel helpless, but apparently none of that mattered to these assholes. I knew for a fact dwarves typically disguised themselves as elves, so they got more respect, but it seemed they only cared about their own plight, not the plight of others. The girls and I had gone to a dwarf's house recently and found adult dragons enchanted to remain as small as babies. There were photos from generations back of them with the family, so they'd been there a long time. I couldn't believe some dragons had been in captivity that long. It wasn't better, but at least the dragons in the home didn't have to work as slaves like these dragons did. The dwarves were ruthless with them, too. They walked around shouting orders and using long magical whips to snap at the dragons' tails or legs. I looked for anything that might allow us to get a leg up and attack outright, but the dwarves were everywhere, and even when one walked away for a moment, there was another close by. They were all in the valley, which worked in our favor, but dwarves were powerful creatures. Their skills were mostly forging and blacksmithing, but they still had enchantment abilities, and a lot of them were quite decent with a blade. I didn't see any way for us to sneak attack them without putting the dragons in danger, and we couldn't attack them outright when they had the dragons under their control. We watched the dwarves for about an hour, and in that time they completed another part for one of the weapons they were to deliver to the Elf King. It was coming together, and I could see now it was intended to send balls of dragon fire hurtling through the air. The Elf King certainly knew how to cause some damage, and I was sure that weapon could turn an entire city into ruins quite quickly. We couldn't allow him to get a hold of these tools of death, not if we wanted to be able to put an end to this terrible business. After a while, I gestured for the girls to follow me, and I led us off the ledge and back down the way we'd come, until I was sure we could speak freely without being heard.
There's 21 dwarves in all.
Oh, I counted 20. You must have seen one I didn't.
That's a lot.
Kaas bit her lip.
What are we going to do here? Yes.
Asta said, and she looked at me with sad yellow eyes.
We can't leave them here.
No, we can't. And we can't allow the Elf King to get those weapons either.
If we take out the dwarves, that solves both of our problems.
Right. I nodded. That's what we need to do today. Now the question is how.
We can't exactly launch a full-scale attack.
No. I shook my head. And trying to sneak attack them could be dangerous for the dragons they have down there.
You're right.
She nodded, and I could see the gears turning behind her beautiful emerald eyes as she stared up at the sky and thought.
If they see us, they could harm the dragons. Or use them against us.
That's true, too. We have no idea how long the dragons have been here.
Would that matter?
Kaas asked, and her strawberry blonde eyebrows pulled together.
Won't they still want to help us?
They might, but if they've been abused for years and years, there's no guarantee they'll be able to.
What do you mean? I think he means mentally. Oh, no.
Asta whimpered as she clasped her hands beneath her chin.
How horrible.
It's a possibility. I nodded. Obeying the dwarves could be so ingrained in them that they're unable to help themselves.
Like Ove?
Yes, I nodded. Vinrar's dragon had been with him so long that even though Vinrar abused him badly, the giant black dragon still obeyed him, at least to some degree.
How do we know that's the case?
Asta asked, and she bit her lip nervously. I'm not entirely sure. That's not something I feel from them, but I just want to think of all the possibilities.
What about the little dragons?
What about them?
They could speak to the bigger dragons, right?
I believe so, I said, and then I realized what the warband leader was getting at. We could send them over to the larger dragons to tell them we're here to help.
That's not a bad idea. What about the chains, though?
Asta asked, and she bit her plump pink lip nervously.
They're going to be difficult to break.
Ira pursed her lips.
They're huge. They're also enchanted.
They are?
Most definitely.
The strawberry blonde nodded.
Even the most well-made chain in the realm couldn't hold a dragon that size.
Oh, you're right. I didn't think about that.
That must be how the dragons are kept there. Do you think you can get them off? I'm sure I can, but it might take me a minute. Are you going to need to undo each of them? I shouldn't.
The sorceress shook her head.
They're probably all the same spell, and once I break the spell, all of them should fall off.
That would be ideal.
But since there are so many chains, the spell would have to be really strong.
She bit her lip. Which means it's going to take you longer to break.
Exactly.
She said with a wince.
I'm sorry.
I understand. All right, do whatever you need to. We have to get those chains off before we can attack, so we'll help however we can.
Having you and Asta close by should strengthen my magic, but I don't think you'll be able to help me with the spell. You'll just have to be patient.
We could send the baby dragons to tell the adults what's going on while Cass tries to get the chains off.
All right. If we can get the adult dragons to attack with us, then the dwarves won't stand a chance.
I'd usually say they wouldn't stand a chance anyway.
Ira grumbled and crossed her arms over her chest.
But there's over 20 of them, and I'm sure they're all well worsted in weapons.
I thought the same thing. I nodded. Not to mention, they have control of the dragons right now.
If it was a fair fight, we'd win without question. But these arseholes have the advantage here.
Which is why we're going to take it away. I grinned and looked at my small team. Is everyone ready?
Ready.
Asta nodded and stared at me with bright yellow eyes full of determination. Inga sat on her shoulder and nodded too, and the little dragon narrowed her purple eyes with the same intensity as her female companion.
They're ready too.
Ira smiled and looked to Svas on her shoulder, and the little yellow dragon nodded and lifted her neck up straight so she sat tall on the redhead's shoulder.
And us.
Kars and Ufe both glanced at me with serious purple eyes. Kars's were a slightly softer color than the little dragon's, but they were no less fierce. Bla flew up to land on my shoulder, and I could feel his energy radiating through me. He was ready for action, and so was I. I smiled as I looked at my small but mighty team. They were incredible, and I knew I could count on them on the battlefield. "Let's move out," I said, before I carefully led my team around the mountain to a more level part of the valley below, and the sound of the large hammer hitting the steel continued to fill the air as we slowly and carefully made our way closer to the dwarves' outdoor forge. The mountain concealed us for a little while, but the closer we got, the less coverage we had, so we had to make do with some random boulders and pieces of scrap metal that had been discarded. I squeezed my eyes shut for a second as the sound of a whip filled the air. The noise was immediately followed by a dragon screaming, and even though I couldn't feel the actual whip, the pain the dragon felt radiated through my body and nearly brought me to my knees. Cass didn't say anything, but she grabbed my arm to steady me and looked at me with wide violet eyes. I took a deep breath and pushed the feeling of pain away, and then I gave Cass a small nod to tell her I was all right. Oh, my powers were still so new to me, and feeling what the dragons felt came so naturally. But it wasn't always the easiest or most convenient thing in the world. I needed to be able to focus in order to free them, and sometimes their emotions were simply too overwhelming. Pushing them to the back of my mind would continue to take practice, especially with how powerful they were. The emotions of 10 full-grown dragons were nothing to be ignored. The dwarves continued to walk around, shout orders, and whip the dragons for going too slow, and I made sure not to make any sound, as we finished making our way to the large gear where the dragons were hooked up. As soon as we were close enough for Kaas to do the spell, she grabbed my arm to hold me steady, and we all settled down behind the large rocks. I peeked over the boulder to see the huge dragons pushing the gear around and around so the hammer would strike the hot steel, and I felt sick to my stomach that they were enslaved in such a terrible way. Once we were all settled in behind the rock, and I was sure no dwarves were able to see us, I looked down at the little dragons. They all lined up in front of me, and I nodded to them to let them know it was time for their part of the plan. The four of them scurried away in different directions, and I watched as Ufe made his way along the ground toward one of the dragons attached to the gear. The little red male hid behind a small rock, and then looked around for dwarves. Once the coast was clear, he shot out and ran up the leg of a large green dragon. The adult didn't even seem to notice him at first, or if he did, he made no movements that might give it away. Ufe crawled up his leg to his back, then up to the top of his neck near his ear. Bla made his way over to one of the dragons breathing fire into the forge, and he used the blue color of his own body to disguise himself by flying up to a blue female. Most of her body was significantly lighter than he was, but she had a dark blue streak that ran the length of her back, and Bla landed there before he made his way up to her ears. The dwarves continued pushing the dragons around, and my heart rate accelerated as I watched all of the little dragons do their part. Svas followed Ufe's lead, and she scurried along the ground toward the dragons near the gears. The yellow female was small enough that she was able to hide within a plume of smoke from the forge, and she used the cover to fly over to her target. Inga also went toward the dragons attached to the gears, since there were six of them there, and only four breathing fire into the forge. The little red girl scurried along the ground until she was at just the right position, but as she flew up toward her target, one of the dwarves came around the corner. Shite, I breathed, and my heart nearly flew out of my chest as I waited to see if he'd spotted her or not. Hey! The dwarf called out as he pointed his finger right at Inga. Where did you come from?